He did. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter number 2. When I got through going through the book of Acts, I was a little disappointed because I enjoy the book of Acts. But man, what truths there are all throughout Scripture. I was talking with Brother Nathan today, and we were all sitting around the table talking about some things. Said, you know, it's amazing that no matter where you cut the Bible, you know, it bleeds with the blood of Jesus. No matter where it is, it's always about the gospel. It's always about evangelism. It's always about something and winning people to Christ and pointing them to Jesus Christ. You know, our job is not to win people to ourselves. Our job is to win people to the Lord. And that's what our goal ought to be. Yes, we ought to be kind. Yes, we desire for people to like us. But the ultimate goal is not for people to like us, but rather to see God in us. And that's where we ought to be. And Joshua was a great follower. You know why God allowed Joshua to become a good leader? It's because Joshua was a good follower. When you had Moses there and you had all of those doing the work that they were supposed to be doing, and then they were wandering through the wilderness, all kinds of things, Joshua was right there, man. Caleb, Joshua, all those, they were good guys, and they were just great, loyal servants, willing to do it. And God, who is a just God and a holy God, promises that if we're faithful in the little things, He'll make us ruler over many things. And Joshua was handed a great task to lead the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan. And there had to cross the Jordan. We spoke last time how in Joshua chapter number 1, just to recap for those who were not here, I'm going to give kind of just a little brief survey of where we were and where we're going to be at tonight. In Joshua chapter number 1, in verse number 11 is where we were. It said that they were to pass through the host. They were to spread the message and pass through, giving the message of the command that was given to Joshua. And you know, that is similar for us. God has given us that command to pass through and spread His word on what He wants us to do. Our job is to go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Then they were to prepare victuals, which were supplies of food. And they're not only to pass through the world spreading the gospel, but we're to prepare for the Lord's return in several areas. We need to be saved and our service for Christ, different things of that nature. We talked about preparing, because the Lord's coming back one day. And then it said they were to pass over Jordan. This looked like an impossible task to do. The Jordan River was in front of them. And they had to pass over it in order to get to the promised land. They had to go from this decision of disobedience where they had been for such a long time to actually possessing the promise that God had already given to them. You understand, God had already promised them that land. He said, hey, I've already given it to you. You just need to go and possess it. And God's given us many things, and we have to just go and possess it. We have to go and take that and make that decision to have faith and trust and courage and confidence in the Lord. And then He told them again to possess that land and how God wants us to possess what He has promised us. And so that's where we were last week, or last time we did Joshua chapter number 1. But we're going to be in Joshua chapter number 2 tonight. I would quickly invite you to stand with me just as we read a few verses here tonight out of respect for God's Word. In Joshua chapter number 2, I want you to take your Bibles there and look over to verse number 8. It said, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. This is Rahab. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, look what she's saying here, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. I was intrigued as I was reading through that there, verse 11, when she said, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I want you to understand, Rahab was showing forth some faith. in this situation. Rahab was one of the enemy, as we would say it, of them coming through this land of Jericho. They had to overtake these walls and this impossible task, but yet they're here to spy out the land and do different things and spy out how to do things. And she took her life into her own hands, hiding these spies from her countrymen. But she understood some things about what had happened with the nation of Israel. And in chapter number one, we were talking about a prepared heart and being prepared to do the work. And here she's exercising the type of faith that I believe we can learn a lesson from Rahab. You say, we can learn a lesson from a harlot in this passage? Absolutely we can. Because she produced some kind of faith that puts us to shame at times. And you say, what kind of faith is that? We'll talk about that. It's an active faith that she had. She didn't just hear about it, but she acted upon the faith in which she heard. And we'll talk about those things here tonight. I want to preach to you tonight about active faith. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day. Bless the message we ask. Lord, use me as your mouthpiece. Speak to hearts tonight. Change us, draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Chapter 2 deals with an outward preparation of doing what God had told us to do. There's many commands that God gives us in the Bible. We talked about that, passing through and spreading the gospel and going through and preparing for Him. And there's a lot of spiritual preparedness that we need in our life. We have to be prepared spiritually. We'll never accomplish anything physically for God if we don't prepare ourselves spiritually. We have to accomplish some things. But here Rahab had heard about some things. These guys came into her city to spy out the land. And she takes them into her house and she's talking with them about what's going to take place. She hides them from her countrymen, from her king, from all of them, sends them out on a wild goose chase after these two spies. And then she goes back to them and she's having a conversation with them in verse number 9 down through verse number 12 and so on, as you will read later on through this passage. But she acted upon what she knew. She had heard some things about how God had blessed the nation of Israel. You know, it's sad that I read throughout the Bible where Israel had seen God do many miracles. They had seen God part the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. They saw a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and God sent manna from heaven, and when that wasn't enough, He sent quail for them. God protected them in so many ways. You think about how many times water came from the rock and gave them drink to sustain them. All these things that God had done, and word had gotten out throughout the land of how good God had been to the nation of Israel. But what saddens me is that there was people during that time that, even though they saw God do wonderful miracles, even though they saw God do great, mighty works, they still refused to believe what God was doing. They still refused to believe and trust in an almighty God that would do those kind of things for them. I don't know about you, but I would have a tendency to believe in someone who parted a Red Sea and let me walk across on dry ground and destroyed all of my enemies. That alone right there would be enough for me to want to stick with Him all the time. But then they begin to whine about things. They begin to gripe about things. And that's just like we are. You know, we're good to criticize the nation of Israel. We're good to look at them and say, man, these guys don't know what they're doing. But yet we do that all the time. We're guilty of it. God blesses us in ways and He does things for us. And we just say, man, God, you know, if you were really real, if you would just really reveal yourself to me, and over and over and over again, if we just took time to this Thanksgiving season, if we would just take time to look back and think about how good God really has been to us and what God really has done for us, we have a lot to be thankful for. And the nation of Israel had a lot to be thankful for. But here in this passage, Rahab acted upon what she knew. Understand this, by faith, she accepted that God was real. By faith, she accepted that. See, she didn't see the things that the nation of Israel saw. Was she there when the Red Sea parted? She wasn't there. Was she there when God had helped them to overcome impossible enemies that they were fighting against? Was she there during that time? No. She heard about how God had done great and mighty things for the nation of Israel. And just in understanding what she had heard, she accepted the fact that God was real. That His power was real. She accepted that just by what she heard. She had more faith in what she heard than people did in what they saw. She had more faith in what she heard than what people did and what they saw. She put her own life on the line for what she knew and believed. She knew that God was real. She says that, right? Verse 11, because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above. She didn't say, well, you think your God is the God. She said, your God, He is God. She was acknowledging something that she believed in. And she put her life, Brother David, on the line for what she believed. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do that. What kind of faith we would have. If we were to look at the life of Rahab, most of us would say, that's a harlot. I don't even want to associate with that lady. But here she was exercising what God can do in somebody's life that will put their belief in God. He can change them and help them to do things that are for His honor and His glory. See, you understand, her belief in God was about to change the whole direction of her family. Because they were all going to be able to be spared. Why? Because she just believed God and who God was and His power. You say, well, did Rahab get saved? I do believe that this is a picture of Rahab getting saved. You know why? Because she believed in God, put her trust in Him. I believe she got saved in that passage. But she believed and put her life on the line for what she knew and believed. She feared God more than man. She feared God more than man. I want you to think about the king in her city. The chief captains of her city. If you read down through the first parts of it, it talks about how when they came, he commanded them to go find them and bring them back so that they knew they were in the land. People had seen them. They said, hey, we got to go find these guys. They come to Rahab and say, where are they? She said, I don't know. They left. Now she lied. Okay. She knew where they were. And we say, well, that was just a little white lie justifying. Listen, she shouldn't lie. Okay, we shouldn't lie, but the fact of the matter is she was trying to protect those that were serving the Lord. Does that mean that it's good for us to lie to protect people? No, I'm not getting at that, okay? But what I am getting at is she had enough faith to put her life on the line for what she believed in. And listen, we ought to have that kind of faith. She feared God more than she feared man. Well, listen, her faith was greater than many in Israel. The Jews saw many miracles. She only heard about them. But she acted on what she heard. Look at Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me ask you, what takes more faith? Seeing something take place and saying, I believe in it. Or hearing about something and believing in it. What takes more faith? Just hearing about it. Hearing about something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, she heard about the mightiness of God. She heard about how God had protected Israel. She heard about what God had done, and she believed in those things, and she believed in the God of it. And she trusted in Him, and she put her faith in that God. And God was about to do a miracle in her life. The nation there, Jericho, these Canaanites, they were about to meet their end. God had already given the victory to Israel, but she had enough faith to believe that if I just trust God, it'll take care of us. I wonder what happens during the storms. Why is it that we always turn away from God rather than turn to God? See, you understand through all of this, Rahab wasn't begging those men to spare her because of her belief in them. She was asking them to spare her because of her belief in their God. Her belief in the same God that they served. The same God that they were supposed to follow. You see, she had more faith, Brother Shane, than those that saw God do these great miracles. She had more faith than those that were there and walked across on the dry ground. She had more faith than some of them that walked through the wilderness and saw God lead them at night by fire and by day by a cloud and sent food from them all the time and then saw water come from a rock and just all these different things that God did for them. They were there. They experienced it, some of them, and she had more faith just by hearing it than they did by seeing it. She was used as an example of faith 2 times in the Bible. You say Rahab was used as an example of faith? Brother Doug, this was a harlot. By our scope of the imagination, we shouldn't even be talking to her. But here, this lady's used by God. This is God's word, isn't it? This wasn't just somebody saying, well, let me pick somebody to write about. God told them to write about Rahab because there were some lessons that we need to learn from Rahab about the faith in which she possessed. And God gave 2 examples in the Bible of faith that Rahab had. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, where we read, we call it that great hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Can you imagine all these guys, man, they worked their time, Brother Shane, to get put in the hall of fame. You know, they work, they'll do what they can do to try to be in that football hall of fame, that baseball hall of fame, basketball hall of fame, golf hall of fame, bowling hall of fame, whatever else hall of fame, cricket hall of fame, whatever kind of hall of fame, they do whatever they can do to try to become famous and get put in the hall of fame. Could you imagine being one that God says, hey, I want you to write about them? They had some attributes in their life that I want everybody to know. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, he writes about her. Look at verse 31. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished. Why did she not perish? Was it because she obeyed the instructions of the men who came? No. It's because she put faith in God. She put faith in God. Look at James chapter number 2. Look at verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? She was not justified by works. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Said when she had received messengers and sent. It wasn't because of the works that she did. Listen, don't look into Scripture and say, well, hey, she was justified by her works. That means we must be saved by works, right? Isn't that what that means, Brother David? No. What it's saying is she was acting upon the faith in which she had. See, she did as James said, showed her faith by her works. Faith without works is dead, James said. It's a dead kind of faith. It's not a living kind of faith. You understand, you don't go to heaven by works. God does not contradict Himself. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you go to heaven by works, therefore God contradicts Himself. Therefore God is a liar, and He ceases to be God, and we need to leave and close the doors. But God does not contradict Himself, and you don't get justified by your works. They weren't saying in this passage that Rahab is justified by her works. It was the faith in which she possessed that made her do what she did. And you can see oftentimes those that are living by faith because they're walking in the things in which they believe. And that faith that possesses them, that faith that they put in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His work, drives them to do what they believe in. That's why Paul said, the love of Christ constrained me. That love that he had, that faith towards God, just motivated him to do something. And that's what was doing something with Rahab. Rahab could have thought, my countrymen will kill me. But she, in the back of her mind, thought, God's already going to destroy them. So I'm just going to trust in God rather than man and just do what God tells me to do. And by faith, her actions followed what she believed. I can tell you what somebody really believes. You say, how do you know that? Watch them for a little while. There's a lot of people that talk a good talk. There's a lot of people that come through the back doors of the church and say, I love God. I'm on God's team. Love God. And then they go outside and they say, hey, I love the world. I love the world. I'm on the world's team. Oh, there's a church man. Hey, I love God. I love God. How are you? And we're snickering and we're laughing. Why? Because we thought of someone. Maybe the Holy Spirit tapped you and said, that's what you're doing. See, what we really believe in is what we're really going to act upon. And no man can serve two masters. I can watch somebody for a while and tell you if they really have faith in God. But without it, it's impossible to please Him. And Rahab had some faith that would put many people to shame. Not only was her faith a rebuke to the children of Israel who saw what God had done, but did not believe in it, but it was also a rebuke to her people, these Canaanites, who had the same knowledge that she did. Because if you look back to our text there, it didn't just say that she knew about it. Look back there, if you would, please, in Romans. Or Romans, what am I talking about? You know where I mean. Just turn there. Joshua. One of those passages, I get all mixed up. I got verses written down all over the place. Joshua, chapter number 2, verse 11. Look, it said, and as soon as I had heard, is that what she said? No, she said, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Who's she talking about? Her countrymen. She's talking about the people that lived around her, her neighbors, her friends, the people that she knew. She's saying, listen, we all heard about what God did for you. And my heart melted. And I know that the God that did all of that for you, He is God. Rahab was saying some very powerful things here. And what a rebuke it is to those of us that have seen God and experienced God do some wonderful things in our life. But yet we refuse to trust Him with our life. We refuse to believe Him and follow Him in our steps. But then her countrymen were also a rebuke because they heard the same message she heard. But they refused to believe it. Rahab was not spared because she threw a scarlet cord out the window. Rahab was not spared because she saved those men's lives. Rahab was spared because the faith that she placed in God. I've heard many people say, man, I bet you she's glad she threw that cord out the window. No, I bet you she's glad she put faith in God. And because of her faith, God saw fit to write about it and to try to teach us some things and maybe to try to help us so that we don't fall into the same kind of rut that most of the Israelites were in and that maybe even her countrymen are in. Maybe you're here and you've heard about God. You've heard about the wonderful things He's done. You've heard about the changes that He's made in people's lives. You've heard about all that, but yet you refuse to believe Him. That's blind faith. That's not believing it. That's not even seeing it faith. And then you have people that have saw God do some things. And they still refuse it. They weren't blind to it. They saw, you know what they did? That's rejecting faith. They reject God. Understand, they both had the same outcome, rejecting God. Why would we reject Him? Because we have no faith. See, Rahab put faith in God. I want you to take your Bibles real quick. To Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17, starting in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. As I was going through looking at Rahab and the faith that Rahab had, I thought, Lord, that I would have that much faith. That even if it meant my life, even if it meant possible death, that I would still fear You and trust You no matter what. See, this thing of increasing our faith is some things that we need to understand of how to have our faith increased. And we can have our faith increased in several ways. And there's three of them that I'm going to share with you a little bit tonight. We'll go to the Bible, let the Bible teach us some things, because that is the best schoolmaster that we'll ever have, is the Word of God. That'll teach us on how we can draw closer to Him. But in Luke 17, verse 5, it said, "The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." I wonder, would that be our prayer to the Lord tonight? Lord, increase our faith. If it is your prayer tonight, be careful on what you ask for. Because if you have your faith increased, there's going to be some testings along the way to help increase your faith. See, faith that is not tested is faith that can't be trusted. You've got to have it tested. Why? Because when it tests and it goes through the fire, think about those three Hebrew boys. And listen, I'm trying really hard not to call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I was, honestly, my heart was smitten about that. We call them Babylonian names, worldly names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah was the names that they were given. But we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We give them the name that a worldly Babylonian king gives them. But I want you to understand their fate. About to be thrown into a fiery furnace. About to be cast, losing their life. All you have to do is when you hear the music, just bow down and worship me. And you know what I believe LJ was ringing through their minds? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what I believe was ringing through their mind? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And the faith that they placed in their God drove them to do something that other people wouldn't be willing to do. They were willing to give their life for their faith. I was skimming through today in my office through Fox's Book of Martyrs. What a tremendous, tremendous book. If you've never read it, you need to. It'll bring you to tears. You know why? Because people who put faith in God and give their life because of faith. They're willing to lay down their life for faith in what they believe in. But here Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah standing in this fire. They've been cast in. Even the men that threw them in, it killed them because it was so hot. But here they are just walking around. And God protected them in the fire. Why? Because they were somebody special. No, because they had faith in someone who's special. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den. Listen, there's not much that I'm afraid of. Okay, there's not a lot of things I'm afraid of. Spiders kind of creep me out. I think they were cursed after the serpent. I don't like spiders. I get that. Honestly, though, my dad's afraid of spiders. He kind of raised me that way. And so I don't like spiders. And so my wife likes to do something. Anytime there's a spider in the house, honey, will you come kill this? Not really. Carter, come here, son. You know, that's what I want to do. Come kill this thing. But you know what? As I'm thinking about faith and a lot of things I'm afraid, could you imagine a lion's den? I mean, I like seeing them at the zoo, but there's a big cage there. Or a great gulf fixed between me and them. Okay? I enjoy that part of it. I got to go to the North Carolina Zoo. We took Kendrick and all them. We went on the vacation. I like when you're standing there looking at the lions. There's a big moat between you and them. That excites me. You know why? Because they can't eat me from where I'm at. But Daniel still prayed to his God. Even when the king commanded. Not supposed to do it. But he did. See, he had the same kind of faith Rahab had. Rahab had that kind of faith that even if it meant her life, she feared God more than she feared man. And Daniel did something with his faith. And he increased in faith. Why? Because he exercised his faith. He exercised his faith. That's what Rahab was doing. You understand, the faith that she had, she exercised that. Now, I have a shirt that says exercise. I thought you said extra fries. Okay? That's how I believe in exercise. You know, I think exercising, and listen, I know it's good for you, and I'm guilty of it. I believe to be in shape, and I think round is a shape, and that's what I am. And so, I appreciate that very much. But you know, I do one sit-up a day. I do half in the morning when I wake up and the other half when I go to bed. Okay? I enjoy that exercise. I enjoy this exercise. Most of us do. We got to do that on Sunday. We man, we have good biceps in our church. You know why? Because we're good at this. You know, those are the kind of exercises that I'm good at, you know. But the fact of the matter is we have to exercise our faith. If we don't exercise our faith, we'll get weak. Exercising our faith, though, takes discipline. It takes discipline. Just like regular exercise takes discipline. When I was a police officer, I had discipline. I could do it. Why? Because I had people there motivating me, trying to help me, encourage me to work out. I thought, too, I can't let that criminal be faster than I am, so I have to work out and do this. You know, I had some motivation, but I had to have some discipline to work out. And you know what? We have to have discipline spiritually to work out. Because every morning when you get up, listen, be honest, you don't feel like reading your Bible every morning. If you do, you're a liar. Okay? If you say, I feel like reading my Bible every day, you need to come to the altar and ask God to forgive you for lying because you don't. I don't. You don't. Listen, you may go well for a little while, but you wake up some mornings and you just don't feel like doing anything. But it takes discipline to do what God tells you to do. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 and verse number 10. Look what the Bible says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that ye shall not be room enough to receive it. So you say, preacher, what does it mean to exercise faith? Well, why does God tell us to tithe? Brother Dave, because God needs our money. That's why He tells us to tithe, right? In this passage we read it and He says, bring your tithes into the storehouse so that I can afford to make sure the lights are on. Is that what God's saying? No. He said, bring your tithes into the storehouse so there may be meat in mine house. But He tells them, He goes on and look what He says, and prove me now herewith. He's saying, these tithes that you're bringing in, I want you to have enough faith in me to give me 10% of what's already mine. Prove me, he said, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be room enough, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, I get sad when people say, I just can't afford to tithe. I want to read this verse to him and say, listen, God is challenging you. Have faith in me. Exercise that faith. The faith that you say you have in trusting me with everything, give me what you don't think you can afford to give me and watch what I do for you. That's exercising faith. It's exercising faith. Faith promise. We just went through faith promise missions. Okay? Some people say, well, I didn't give to that because I just can't afford to. Nobody can afford to give faith promise. It's what you give by faith that you can't afford to give. You give it, why? Because God tells you to. You obey Him and you prove Him. He says, put me to the test. Exercise faith and see what happens. I want to bless you. I want to pour out a blessing. You understand, God's not up there going, oh, please don't tithe so I can zap your car. God's not saying that. God's not sitting up there saying, please don't tithe so I can do some wicked things for you. No. God's saying, please tithe so I can bless you. Exercise faith so I can even give you more blessings than what I'm already giving you. Man, give to me, give to those that need help because I want to pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. See, we're exercising our faith when we tithe, when we give to the work of the Lord. You say, preacher, you only say this because, you know, you want to get a raise. Listen, we need to give to God. Amen. Because God says to give it. Amen. God says to. We need to tithe. Why? Because God says to prove Him. It's exercising our faith. James chapter 2. James chapter number 2. We've already mentioned this a little bit, but I want to give you the verse so you don't think it's just me. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So wait a second. What's that mean, faith that has not works is dead? That means we have to work to show our faith. No, it means that what you believe inside should be coming out. It's exercising faith. It's strengthening ourselves, putting legs to the faith in which we have. We need to exercise that. Look at Romans. Chapter number 1. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have to live by faith. The Bible says that. We're supposed to, the just shall live by faith. We have to exercise our faith. See, that's what Rahab was doing. Rahab was exercising the faith in which she had. That faith that she let possess her, that she put in God. Listen, if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's been a day that you experienced faith. Because you had to have faith in God to be saved. You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to believe that He was the Savior of all. You had to believe that you were a sinner, that your sin was destining you for hell, that you were separated from God forever, that Jesus Christ did all that was required for you to go to heaven, putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and resurrection, asking Him to save you, believing in your heart that He was going to do exactly what He said. That was putting exercising in the faith in which you had. You exercised that faith to be saved. But guess what? We have to continue to exercise faith as we live our Christian life, because it's the only way we'll stay strong in the Lord. For us to live by faith, we have to exercise that faith. But not only do we exercise faith to have that active kind of faith or to increase our faith, we need to examine the Word of God in order to increase our faith. You say, what's that mean? We need to study the Bible. We need to examine the Word of God. Reading the Bible has a strengthening faith. You understand, this strengthens us, reading the Word of God. It helps us along the way. You say, well, what does the Bible say about that? Look at John chapter 20. Look at verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Okay, so what's it say? It's talking about the Bible, right? It says, many other signs did Jesus. Okay, there's a lot of things He did that aren't written in the Bible. So don't worry about the things that aren't written. He already said, hey, there's many things that aren't written, but these things that are, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life through His name. Understand what the Bible does for us. It strengthens us on who God really is and what He does for us. If you want to increase in your faith, believing that God is who God really says He is, get into the Bible, look at the things that are written, understand what God is trying to teach, study the Word of God. Why? It says why? That ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name. Listen, that's not just salvation life through His name. That's actually living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. You know, you can have a dead Christian life because you have faith without works. Live a dead spiritual life and be saved. There's a lot of living dead people. You say, what are you talking about? They're alive and breathing. They're saved. Their destination is secure, Brother Doug. But they're dead. You know why? Because they don't get in that book. They don't examine that book. They don't go through that Bible to see this, Brother LJ, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That they may see Him, they may know Him. That's what God's saying. Examine my Word. Why? So that you can increase in faith in me. Believing in who I am and what I've done. Examine it. Go back to Romans 10. We already read this verse once. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So let me ask you a question. How do you hear? How do you hear to have faith? By what? This is not a trick question. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, it's hard to have faith in someone you don't even know. It's hard to have faith in something that you don't know anything about. Do you think Rahab would have had faith, Brother Josh, if she'd have never heard? You think she could have believed in a God that parted the Red Sea, that helped them overcome their enemies, that fed them in the wilderness, that did all that? You think she could have had faith in something she never heard about? Never heard anything of? How could she have faith in that? But guess what? She said, we heard. And she believed because what she heard. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To increase in our faith, we got to examine the Word of God. We got to get in the Bible. Exercise your faith. Examine the Word of God. But do this. Expect things from the Lord. Expect things from the Lord. You say, well, what do you mean expecting? Expect God to do what He says He's going to do. Didn't God say, prove me? You give and prove me. Watch what I do. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. You know why I believe we don't do those things, Brother Doug? We don't humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from the wicked way because we say, oh, God can't ever do anything for us. We don't really believe that He can. Because guess what? If we really believed it, trusting the Lord, expecting Him to do what He says He's going to do, we would have more faith in asking Him to do and doing what God tells us to do. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We're almost finished. Thank you for your patience tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5. There's times we have burdens, there's times we have sorrows, things like that. Look what he says in 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, that's expecting God to do what God says He's going to do. Cast all your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. Cast all your cares upon, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why should we cast all our cares upon the Lord? Guess what? He already bore them anyway. In Isaiah, surely He had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. All the cares, all the heart, they all need to be cast to Him. He's saying, why are you carrying something that I have already carried? Why are you weighed down with so much garbage and stuff that I have already paid for? And I've already carried it. You just take my yoke upon you. That's expecting God to do what He says He's going to do. You know, He brings that peace that passes all understanding. Where does that come from? Just trusting Him, faith in Him, and letting Him do what He says He's going to do. We're incapable of bringing that peace in our life. Brother Doug, it's not easy to accept the fact what your mom just went through. But putting faith in God, expecting Him to give peace on your heart and understand that she's in His hands and she belongs to Him, that helps us along the way. You know why? Because it's just expecting the Lord to do what He says He's going to do. Daniel chapter 3. You read about all that Daniel went through. Daniel expected God to take care of him. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said, we will not bow because God's going to take care of us. But if not, they were already expecting God to do something great. They said, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow. but he's going to. That's what they believed. They just expected God, because of their faith, to do what God promised to protect them. Daniel prayed, talked to God. I believe God gave Daniel peace that he was going to be just fine in that lion's den. I believe he had that peace. He got thrown down in there. Oh, I'm sure he was nervous, but guess what? He had faith in God. And here the king comes running over. Daniel, are you safe? He goes, yeah, I'm here. I'm good. I'm petting this little kitty down here. It's all wonderful. Those only cats that I like, by the way, is the big ones that can hurt me. I have respect for those kind of cats, okay? But listen, Daniel had faith in God. You know what? That cat, that lion, could kill him. And by the way, friend, there's a lion that can destroy us. But Brother Shane, there's another lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. And he can protect us. You know what? Let's just expect him to do what he says he's going to do. Just let's put some expectations in God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Two more verses. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to be like my grandpa tonight. Say, and last this evening. And then 20 minutes later. And in closing. That's what. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You know what that's saying, Brother Travis? Expect God to take care of you. Trust Him. Just expect God to do it. Psalm 27. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. I don't even have to say anything else in that verse. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Expect God to do some things. Listen, when you're having faith and you're increasing in your faith, you're going to be exercising your faith, you're going to be examining the Word of God, and when He's revealing Himself to you, Brother Shane, you're just expecting Him to do what He says He's going to do. You know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting that eastern sky to part any day now. You know why? Because He said it's going to happen. He's going to come back. Guess what? But if it doesn't happen during my lifetime, Brother Doug, He's still going to do it. I'm expecting Him to. You know why? Because He said He's going to. Why was it so important to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just like the death of Jesus Christ? By the way, the gospel is not complete unless you put the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in there. We talk about the crucifixion all the time, and that was the penalty and the payment for our sin. But guess what? By Him rising from the dead, He said He was going to. He said, in 3 days I'm going to rise again. So He conquered death and hell and rose so He could offer life. If He was still dead and the resurrection was not there, guess what? Death would have conquered Him and He could not offer life. That kind of stuff is important. We expect God to do what He says He's going to do. God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died, was buried, rose again. He said He was going to do that. And He did. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Guess what I'm expecting Him to do? Come again and receive me into Himself, that where He is, there I may be also. I'm expecting that. Why? Because He says He's going to do it. It's a promise that God gives us. We can just expect it. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. Paul, writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, his preacher boy, Look what he says in verse 11 and 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know what Paul was preaching to Timothy? Just expect God to do what God said He's going to do. You know why I'm enduring all this? You know why I'm enduring these sufferings and these beatings and all this? Because henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day of His appearing. He's saying, listen, God's going to bless faithfulness. Faithfulness. God will bless faithfulness. Church, listen, we have to have active kind of faith. Not just sitting around saying, well, I have faith, because faith without works is dead. You want to be a dead church, we'll just all sit around and say we have faith. But if we want to be a church, Brother Shane, that's alive, that people can see God, we need to be exercising our faith, examining the Word of God, and expecting God to do what He says He's going to do. Guess what He says? Some sow, some water, some reap the harvest. He said, it's our job to give it and His job to give the increase. I think we go out there all the time, and when we're going soul winning, we say, well, nobody trusted Christ today. God didn't do His part. Listen, just because somebody didn't bow their head and say some words in front of you doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not working. Let's just expect God to do things. Listen, we've been praying for people to be saved. There's many people been asking for Miss Joy asked us to pray for her daughter Machen and her husband Austin. We ought to be praying about that and expecting God to do it. Miss Melinda's asked prayer for her family. We ought to be praying, expecting God to do it. Instead of getting down here, God, I have faith in it, but I know You're never going to do it. And we wonder why God doesn't do anything sometimes. All He's saying is, prove me. Believe. Examine the Word and trust me to do what I say I'm going to do. Let's just start. Guess what? It is His will that everybody's saved. And if we're asking the Lord to see them saved, guess what? We need to tell them, plant the seed, but let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let's just expect God to do what He says He's going to do. See, you know what Rahab believed? If you read through the rest of the passage, Brother Jason, they told her, they said, listen, anybody in your house, if you want your family to be spared, if they come out of your house, their life's gone. When we come into this city, we're coming in meaning business. But as long as they're in your house, they're going to be saved. And you know what? She could have said, oh, come on. I don't have to believe all of that. You know, I helped them out. Surely they're going to show me kindness. Now, you know what would have happened to her family if they'd have walked out of that house? They'd have been dead. Why? Because they were destroying the city. They were annihilating them. You know what she had to do? Believe. And put her faith and make it active, saying, listen, you need to come and you need to be in my house. Why? Because God said, if you're not, you're going to die. And guess what? We're supposed to tell people, listen, God said that if you don't trust Him, you're going to die and go to hell one day. We're not doing anybody a favor by cheapening the Word of God. We're not doing anybody a favor by watering down things. We need to be active in it. Doing what God said to do, planting the seed and expecting God to work. Just expect Him to do it. He says, prove me. Paul told Timothy in that verse, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. He said, listen, I was a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And because of that, Brother Doug, I'm suffering. He said, but nevertheless, even though I suffer for all of that, doesn't matter. I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. You understand? We just need to believe He's able. We sing that little song with the kids and I'm done. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. We sing those little songs with the kids and we think, oh, those are cute little kid songs. You know what Paul was saying to Timothy? He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through all this. And understand, God is able. You just got to believe Him. Just trust Him. You belong to Him if you're saved. Your life belongs to Him. Just trust Him with it. Exercise your faith. Examine God's Word. And expect God just to show up and do it. Rahab believed it. Just by hearing. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Heads bowed, eyes.